Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Dre.
Yeah. Robert Ford.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
That's it, yeah, man.
Oh, yeah.
Now crank it up, fellas.
Yes, sir. Let's get it in.
Y'all ready?
Yeah.
Here we go.
More football.
Yeah. Shout out to the nation.
Yes, sir. You're officially talking sports with the
Who
club. Next day is Tuesday. I don't know about all that, but today is Tuesday.
I was going to say,
okay. 20th of September. We're going to give all of our rise up. What you got? What you got, JQ? What's the Bengals thing?
We started. They tried to steal that Who Day. So no. So you go read a book. We started Who Day,
no,
and y'all stole it for Who Day. We would have
been going on in New Orleans in the 1800s.
Man, it wouldn't have. Not with the Saints, it wasn't.
Well, not with the Saints, but that phrase been going on in New Orleans since the 1800s.
Hey, man, you know we started the Who Day chant. I was like, oh, that sounds good. We got the Who Day. Let's just go ahead and do that now since they're doing that.
Wow,
oh, man,
listen to that. We
this.
Are already off. Go ahead, man.
I can at least see how the Atlanta started to rise up chant.
Hey, listen, we started that Who Day.
From the Super Bowl, the year after the Saints won the Super Bowl, Atlanta had to come up with a slogan. They started the year after they heard us hearing Who Dat everywhere.
Oh,
they had to come up
with
something.
You know what?
They say the imitation is a form of flattery. What?
Yeah, absolutely.
America, we apologize for like the little
giving America history lesson.
I don't know about all that. I'm just saying, I knew I had a feeling Rob was gonna come with something, about New Orleans, about Atlanta. I figured that was in the pipeline there. But of course, we're talking sports with 12th man. I am Andre. Let's kick in with my other fellows, Mr. JQ. How are you feeling this evening, sir?
I'm almost recovered from that ridiculous Sunday that whooping I took from my Bengals and my fantasy teams. I'm almost recuperated, not fully, but I'm almost there.
Okay. That's what we're here for, man. We're here in America, so it's all about JQ to offer our healing. So we'll get you started for the show, too. Mr. Robport, a.k.a. New Orleans, John. What's up, bro? How you feeling this evening, man?
Mr. Owen, too.
Oh, yeah. Saints 0-2, two tough losses this year, but we're going to get our first one come Monday night. We'll finally get off the snide a little bit, get our first win of the season. Come Monday night in the Superdome when the Dirty Birds come to town.
I say, Rob, you going to play quarterback?
Well, we got a bunch of rookies out there trying their hardest. And they actually played well this past Sunday, but, just wasn't enough. But I'm like you, JQ. I'm trying to heal from the loss. Thankfully, my fantasy teams are not doing so bad. I went 3-1 again in fantasy football, but up here in Seattle, checking on the Seahawks. I got up here with a whole bunch of Blue Jay fans up here watching the Mariners and the Blue Jays. And so I can't believe they travel that far to see the Blue Jays play. But
that's a long flight.
Yeah.
That is a long flight.
A lot of Toronto fans, but the weather up here is lovely. It's getting away from the heat and humidity of the South.
All right, without further ado, I'm going to let that comment slide about New Orleans.
And I had
to
have some fresh salmon up here while I'm up here, too. Yeah, I know. I was waiting. Did you catch some fish?
I didn't catch it, but I was right off the water, Puget Sound.
Yes, sir.
You done, Rob? Anything else you want to talk about, man? You good, man?
Go ahead.
Here we go. For those who want to
hey, man, I'll get mad because the Saints going to beat the Falcons Monday night.
Oh, he's talking about that. I'm talking about your food, man. I can't wait for this, bro. Dude, if we win, I'm gonna be all. It's gonna be like the Falcon recap on that Tuesday. Just FYI. All right, here we go. Calling the show 424 243. Oh, 9519. Just be prepared. Just be prepared. Here we go. Once again, 424-243-9519. That's the number of the show. Follow us on Twitter. I got to get it out, JQ. Follow us on Twitter, at the number 12, THMAN Sports. And then finally on Facebook, if you go to facebook.com/12thmansports, or if you actually type in Talking Sports with the 12th Man, you will find your boys as doing right now. So after that crazy intro, we are officially going to finally settle down here and talk some sports here. And JQ, let's kind of jump right into your top five in the NFL after week two. I know it's so early in the season, but let's see if it's changed or if you kind of kept the same with your top five after week two.
No, it's definitely has changed some, especially with that egg that Seattle laid down in Los Angeles. I think you got to stay with Denver number one. I told you I thought that they would play good defense, and Trevor would play good enough just to kind of trend different kind of role to keep him up at number one. Got to give New England a lot of credit. At worst, they go 2-2 during the suspension. I think that's, you know, I know they were hoping for more because, you know, Jimmy G was looking pretty good, but he's probably done, at least for a week. And I just don't see them beating Houston with Brissett as the quarterback. Well, we've seen stranger things happen, but I'm still keeping New England number two, just given the fact that they were 2-0 and have pretty much survived the storm with Brady being gone. As much as I hate to say it, I got to go with Pittsburgh at number three, even though we got jipped on a lot of calls in that game, and I really don't appreciate it, but I'm going to put my objective hat on and put them number three. I think I'm going to put Carolina number four. I think Carolina number four. A tough loss to Denver, but they did what they had to do against San Francisco. But I think that defense is still legit, and Cam is still Cam. And number five, I liked what Arizona did, but, you know, I got to give you a lot of credit, Dre, and I think I got to throw Minnesota in there at number five. You know, they shut down that Green Bay offense there on Sunday night, and they made Aaron Rodgers look really, you know, pedestrian.
I called that one, too.
Yeah. Oh. Okay. So now there, but
he did call that. He did call that. He did call that.
I know. He did. And on the outside looking in, at six, and I mean, I don't want to discount the fact that they play, you know, Jay Cutler, and that's an automatic win for most good teams. But look out for that Houston squad at number six for me. They're playing fantastic defense. J.J. Watt is still a monster. How he's doing that, just coming back from back surgery, is amazing. And Brock Osweiler is living up to the hype as much as he can, and Will Fuller's been a revelation opposite of DeAndre Hopkins. So I'm gonna put them slightly below the Vikings at six, just because, you know, they played a Kansas City offense that's terrible, and they played Jay Cutler, but they look pretty good. So that's my top five plus a bonus.
Very nice, very nice, Jake. Good analysis too. What about you, Rob?
Still got the Steelers number one, and they only going to get better once they get Le'Veon Bell back here shortly, year two. And so I still have them in the number one position. New England, I have them in the number two position. As long as they have Brady or Garoppolo, it looks like they're going to be okay. So I have New England at the number two position. Number three, I have Denver, and their defense is still proven to be quite elite. If their team gets a 2-touchdown lead, you can forget about it with that pass rush. That pass rush is still extremely elite. With the Denver Broncos. Number four, I have the Minnesota. Their defense is definitely elite, one of the better defenses in the league. Obviously, they just took a big blow with AP. They're going to running back by committee approach, and I think they'll still get by for most of the season. And number five, surprisingly, guys, I have the New York Football Giants. They are improved tremendously. They were one of the worst defensive teams in the league last year. Janarius Jenkins. Snacks in the middles. Their defense has gotten a whole lot better with Olivier Vernon, and they're extremely bad on defense. And I have them at the number five position. And as JQ mentioned, Houston, the team I've been able to see a good bit, especially this past weekend, I saw a good bit of that game. And J.J. Watt was still a force coming off that injury. And Brock Osweiler, he hasn't been perfect, but he's been solid. He's made a few mistakes, but he's showing great footwork in the pocket. You know, his former basketball player, you know, is showing good footwork, and it looked like he's got the tools to be a really solid quarterback for the Texans. So they're definitely knocking on the door.
Mm-hmm. Very nice. Very nice. My top five, a little bit different from all you guys. Rob, once we've spoken that you don't put Denver up at number one position. So I got Denver number one. I got JQ's favorite team, Pittsburgh, number two.
Oh, goodness.
Really tight between Arizona and Carolina. I'm giving a slight edge to Arizona because they just whipped up on Tampa Bay. I don't know if that was just – they were just waiting for that, but they've had two pretty impressive wins. And I know what you're going to say, JQ. You know, I know we're not quite sure as far as Carson Palmer yet, but he seems like he's pretty focused, man. So that squad is a pretty dangerous squad right now. Obviously, you got to get Carolina because they're the one squad that actually – gave Denver a lot of challenges, so I like Carolina at number four. And at number five, I got this only because of coaching, and I'm going to throw the Patriots in there only because, like I said, because if you would have thought they would have been, you know, like I said, 2-0 at this particular time, you know, everyone was hoping for them to hold serve. So that for them, to what they're doing right now with, you know, Jacoby Brissett right now filling in for Garoppolo, which is hilarious, by the way, that Fox 5 was making fun of him. But, you know, just coaching right now, I got them at the number fifth position. But I do got to give shout-outs, like you said, to JQ, to Houston, as well as Minnesota, too, on the outside looking in, too. So good squads. That's what we got. I love how everyone has different top fives, but we'll keep it moving here. Just really quickly, JQ, we got a good friend of ours that me and Rob knows, Richmond, Scott Richmond. This guy's a Philly fan, winning out. He's over here talking about – he posting like every 5 minutes about Carlson Wentz. So, yeah, after 2 weeks – I guess the question is, how is he looking? I'm going to throw it to you, Rob. And then I guess number one is Cleveland kind of kicking themselves for trading out. So I'll let you both guys think about that. But what do you think about Carlson at this particular time, Rob? Carson, excuse me.
Well, he's been cool under pressure, I tell you that. He's been poised in the pocket. And I tell you what, that North Dakota State football program, you all saw they upset Iowa this past weekend. So he's coming from a program that runs a pro-style offense, and he seems to be very well prepared for the NFL game. And you can easily make a case that we haven't seen anything of Jared Goff as of right now. You could easily make a case that Wentz should have been that guy that is going number one. And I know Cleveland's got a lot of needs, but whenever you got an opportunity to get a quarterback, and Cleveland can't seem to find a quarterback for, like, how many years now have they been back in Cleveland? I know they had a lot of needs, but Cleveland has got to be slapping themselves in the face for passing on this kid. And it's a big mistake by the Cleveland Browns. Obviously, it's easy to go back, and hindsight is 20/20. But when you have an opportunity to get a quarterback, you cannot mess that up. Now Cleveland has messed up yet again when it comes back to the quarterback position. And this guy, he seems to be still early. It's only two games, but he seems to be the real deal. And you can even make a case that the Rams traded up to get the wrong guy as well.
Oh, wow. It's kind of early right now, Rob, but we'll see how everything plays out, too, until Goff is on the field, too, man. So, JQ, your thoughts about this, sir?
Well, when I think about all the love he's getting, I feel like that old Bill Parcells saying, you know, don't put him in the Hall of Fame quite yet, you know. So let's pump the brakes on that. And, you know, he's looked good, don't get me wrong. But you can't, if you're being objective, you can't ask for a better two games to start with Cleveland and all the things you just mentioned, Rob just mentioned, and then getting Jay Cutler.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I think that masks a lot. And, again, Philadelphia has looked good with Carson Wentz, don't get me wrong. But to play two really mediocre, the sub-mediocre teams to start your career helps you look a little bit better. So I'm going to reserve a little judgment on him. He's looked good so far, but when it starts to get a little bit more stiffer competition, when he plays that Giants defense, he's got to play that Pittsburgh defense. Even my Bengals defense is not playing bad. When he steps it up in the competition, he does that, then I'll be a little bit more on the bandwagon. But I'm going to pump my brakes. I'm going to say it's nice for right now. I think he's done what he should do to justify being that high. But he's also played two really bad teams.
I bet those two bad teams wish they had them. The Bears and the Browns.
I don't disagree with that. I don't disagree with that.
Oh, man. So we're not fitting him for the Yellow Jacket just yet. But I'm kind of in the middle of both you guys. I mean, I think that, Rob, you got to be very impressed because this is the NFL. I mean, still, you know, it's not like you're playing, you know, cupcakes. Like you said, he's coming from a great program. But I'm just saying though, there's still football is football, yes, but you know, for him to come in and do what he's got to do has been very impressive. And I will agree with you, JQ, let's pump the brakes because, you know, right now he's not a Hall of Famer just yet. there are still teams that have to game plan against him, and he's going to have to figure out, he's going to have to grow and evolve, because teams are going to eventually figure out, you know, how to, you know, there's a weakness in his game right now, and he's still young, so he's got a ways to go. But right now, and I was watching that game too, guys, and it's kind of eerie how, you know, listening to John Gruden talk about, you know, the play calling, and it's pretty similar to what Andy Reid had. So it's funny how you guys kicked out Andy Reid, and yet the guy who replaced him was just almost eerily after the freaking whole Chip Kelly disaster. But they got a guy that's almost exactly like Andy Reid. So it's almost like a big F you right to Philadelphia regarding that too. But we'll keep an eye on that. Got to say, very good young quarterback. I'm excited for the talent. And just another – just very sad. I'm sorry, Mario, my cousin. He's a huge Cleveland fan. And once again, it seems like you guys blew it yet again. And I hope that we're not going to be a broken record for next year too. But we'll keep an eye on that as well too, because right now – Cleveland is scrambling to find a quarterback, even
they're
going to
blow
speak.
It again.
But anyway,
yeah,
they will.
And they play FAMU.
They
play FAMU and SC State. I mean, they play FAMU and South Carolina State the first 2 weeks. So I mean, I'm gonna be cool on that until they play some real competition.
Q is not gonna give him. He's not giving Carson any love. All right.
I mean, and those. I mean, JQ made good points on competition, but he. Obviously, they beat both of those teams pretty handily, and the rookie quarterback, too. So I think, you know, first 2 weeks, yeah, you got to give the kid an A, but, you know, definitely not in the Hall of Fame yet. We'll have to see what the rest of the season and the rest of his career.
Yeah.
Put a first ballot Hall of Famer. Sorry.
Good Lord, have mercy.
That's
he might be.
All my Philly
you
fans.
Never
they,
know if
it
keeps
they
going.
They all
right.
jumping on
him. Stop it, Rob.
Yeah. Remember how we were going back and forth between Luck and Griffin, RG3. Now look at it, man. It's just a totally different conversation, man. So we'll have to keep it going too, man.
Yeah.
You never know.
Ethan Manning.
And even Luck has kind of fallen off his face for a little bit here the last couple of years.
Same thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's the great wide hype right now. So we'll have to keep an eye on that too, man. But he hasn't had an offensive line, though. That's the Colts' fault for sure, man.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we'll talk about that too. Rob, let's go ahead and get some fantasy shout-outs, Rob. We got about we're 12 minutes in the show right now, so go ahead, sir.
Wow, we're moving pretty fast already. We having a lot of fun here. League number one, Lions King, over Monsters of the Midway, 161-101.12. That was the biggest win of the weekend. Lions King from Atlanta. Purple and Gold Patrol is in first place in that league. That's also Sean from Atlanta as well. And league number two, Fleur de Lis with the biggest win, the Matthew from Indianapolis, 140.20 to 99.96 over EP Diablos. And yours truly is in first place in that league, Purple and Gold. And league number three, our fellow co-host, Andres Rise Up Phelps. I hate that name, by the way. He had the biggest win of the week, 133.66. 87.38 had the biggest win of the week over winning. And the Kings team is Julius from New Orleans in first place in that league. So we got a lot of football to play. It's been a lot of fun. Let's keep it going.
Rob, what's the name of that team again? I didn't hear you.
I did the shout out already. You can go back and replay the show and hear it.
I want to make sure I heard you correctly with that, you know. So, you know, making sure that we're Rise Up Falcons. All right, let's keep it moving here. We've got 11 minutes here. I'm going to let you come back around to that, Rob, so just in case we get that again. I'm going to keep winning for you to keep saying that name. All right. I'll do anything in my power to make sure I win. So every week, get that. JQ.
Don't
relax.
Let him win when he play you,
Rob,
JQ.
I'm not in that.
You win it now,
JQ. Relax. Relax.
My name is Bennett.
Relax. I'm trying to pull like a little Aaron Rodgers here. Relax. How did you go from MVP to mediocre? This is Rob, because I don't think he's mediocre by any stretch of the imagination. So this is an interesting topic. I just think he just ran into some pretty good defense. Well, definitely against Minnesota. Right out too, and he's just a little rusty here. But so that's me. So Rob, what do you mean by this particular comment here about MVP?
I tell you what, if you look at these first two games of the season, and you go back and look at the last 10 games of last season, look at Aaron Rodgers' stats, they have been MVP caliber at all. And part of it is his offensive line is not as good as what it used to be, and He just does not look comfortable behind that offensive line. He didn't last season. I mean, you really go look at those stats from the last 10 games of last season, and it's carried over into this season so far. So, I mean, if I think if you're a Packers fan or you're a Packers general manager or coach, you have to be starting to get a little worried here. And obviously, I'm not saying bench Aaron Rodgers. I mean, he's done a lot for that organization to be getting benched this soon.
He said bench Aaron
Rodgers.
But
you look at his last 12 games
he's
of the regular season play, he has not been the MVP caliber quarterback, and that's just the bottom line. And that team struggled toward the end of the season. They backdoored into the playoffs based on what they did early in the season, but he has not looked comfortable behind that offensive line.
Yeah, I'm not going to take it that far. They've had some horrible offensive line play, and part of that, and the sit-in release now is even showing up even bigger after that Sunday night performance. And I think the other piece of that is they haven't adjusted the game plan to go with the fact that they don't hold up as well in the passing game with the offensive line. I don't think they're doing enough to pound Lacy and Starks and give Rodgers that play-action pass to go down the field and get Cobb over the middle and Jordan deep. It's just kind of like an air raid offense, and they aren't really having other teams respect the run. And I think that's mostly what's affecting Aaron Rodgers' play, is the fact that he doesn't have that play action to come off of, because they aren't respecting that run at all. And another thing is that ball security. Like, we could talk about his offensive line, but he was holding that ball like a loaf of bread Sunday night against Minnesota. Mm-hmm. I mean, we had like three fumbles, and he finally lost one there at the end, the big one. So you can't do that. You can't have shoddy offensive line play, and you can't be careless with the ball. So I think it's a lot of factors that go into it. But, no, he's not been the Aaron Rodgers that we're used to. But I think a part of that, what comes down to me, is the offensive line play and the fact that they just aren't running the ball at all.
And to his defense, that last season, toward the end of the season, his wide receivers were not getting open either. Obviously, he didn't have Nelson last season. He had a lot of injuries at the wide receiver position too. So obviously, that probably played a role in it as well, going back to that season.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough.
And where are you, Jared?
I kind of think that. Yeah, that's another conversation too, JQ. I mean, I kind of get where you're going, Rob, in that maybe his stats are not up to Aaron Rodgers' stats, like. But as JQ did say, I do have something to believe it has something to do with the offensive line. So if the line gets better, that helps out the stats. And I kind of blame the front office for the Packers, because I think they're used to having Aaron Rodgers that they expect them to be great, but they're not really surrounding him with a lot of talent. So, you know, they haven't addressed the offensive line. That should be addressed. They do have a Haas, supposedly, in Eddie Lacy. He had the best offseason of his career. But as you said, JK, they're not using him. So now would be the time to – that's the quarterback's best friend is running game. So, you know, by any means, hook or crook, get that line, you know, solidified. You know, defense has been pretty decent, I would say. You know, not like the worst defense, but, you know, you still got Aaron Rodgers. So you should be able to, you know, beat at least a lot of teams in the league. So that's half the battle too. So, and ask Cleveland that all the time. They'd love to have Aaron Rodgers. That's all in our conversation. But anyway, I digress.
Hey, listen. Me too.
Yeah. Speaking of, wow, that's another conversation too, JQ. All right. Speaking of mediocre, how can I not throw this and tie these two in? Jay Cutler, has he taken his last snap as Bears QB? I'm going to say yes, but I'll let you start with this one, JQ.
No, because have you seen Brian Hoyer play? So, I mean, I remember that awful, god-awful performance against Houston in the playoffs last year. No, because they don't have a better solution. Now, is he the quarterback after this year? I don't know, because they gave him so much money, and they would have to eat so much money in that contract due to guaranteed money that they may be in trouble with just an outright release. But he's just toxic. And if you saw, I forget the linebacker that was hurt that got in his face after that last interception when he walked off the field. I mean, they just do not like that dude. And, I mean, I know you can cover those things up when you're winning, but when you're losing and Jay Cutler's got that face and he's pouting and his other players are getting in his face about it, you know, he just seems like he has a toxic personality on that team. So I don't think so. Yeah. In terms after this year, but if he's supposed to come back this year and they're paying him that money, I mean, Brian Hoyer is not the guy. It's not like they have somebody they're developing where you're benching him in favor of Jay Cutler. Brian Hoyer is a 37-year-old journeyman quarterback. So when you got Jay on the books for all that money, he's going to play again this year. But I wouldn't be surprised if this is last year with Chicago, though.
941,176 versus 26,471. Yeah. Rob, what are your thoughts, man?
Well, this is one I agree with JQ on, and totally, definitely, he's definitely going to be back. As soon as he's back healthy this season, he's going to be their starting quarterback just because they don't have another option. So I totally echo what JQ said on this one, but I think it's based on next season. It's going to all depend on what free agent quarterbacks are available and also where they're drafting in the draft to see if he's going to be with them next season. But he's definitely not taking his last snap as a starting quarterback.
Yeah, because if Chad Keller or Deshaun Watson is there, I can think you can say goodbye, Jay Cutler.
But, yeah, basically, yeah, it's all going to come down to where they're picking. You know, right now I still have Chad Kelly going in the second round, but Deshaun Watson is still the top five pick.
Yeah, you know Chad's going to move up.
All right, guys.
You know he's going to move up. They always do.
Yeah. All right. We got about 4 minutes here. Rob, are there any 0-2 teams that have a chance at the playoffs? No, you said the Saints, bro. Go ahead.
Well, you said it. Out of all the teams, I'm not saying the Saints are going to be in the playoffs, but out of all the teams that are 0-2, they're the teams that got the best chance. They still have a quarterback. They still have an elite offense. And so I'm not saying they're going to the playoffs, but if there's any 0-2 team that will do it, I know they're going to talk about me being a homer, but I'm not saying they're going, but if any 0-2 team is going to do it, it's going to be the Saints. No other 0-2 team
JQ
has a shot.
JQ.
I don't know if I can necessarily disagree with that because I think the NFC is more wide open than the AFC, so I can't really see an AFC team climbing from 0-2. And it's really sad because I was a little higher on Jacksonville, and they just have come out and just stunk up the joint here to start the season. I would have to say, I know it's a lot of rancor going on in D.C., but, you know, if Kirk can come back and play like he did those final eight games, I still give Washington also a chance because I still think that NFC East is winnable. The Giants defense is playing better, don't get me wrong. But I still think that division is winnable. And like I said, I just don't see the NFC having a ton of powerhouses to where it's insurmountable. I think it's much harder to do it in the AFC where you're already looking at a Denver and a New England and a Pittsburgh already probably locked up with three of the six berths right there, whereas in the NFC it's a little bit more wide open. So I could see the Saints doing it, sneaking in the wild card, and I could see Washington as well.
Yeah,
the
NFC
East, I know we're just two games in the season, but the NFC East is coming out a little stronger than we expected it to be early in the season. With the Eagles 2-0, the Giants 2-0, the Cowboys are playing respectable at 1-1. So that division, we thought an 8-8, 9-17 will win that division in our preseason rankings.
I still think it does.
All right, gentlemen, we're in the OT portion. Go ahead, set it up, Rob. We got about 1:50 to talk about the OT.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for tuning in. We'll be back on the air on next Tuesday night live, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central. You don't want to miss our NFL and college football. We're actually getting ready to go into our OT portion of the show. Unfortunately, we can't give you this portion of the show live, so click on the same link on tomorrow. We still have more football to talk. We still haven't gotten to our college football segment, so our college football fans, you don't want to miss this portion of our show. Tune in on tomorrow, the same link. Write us, email us, let us know what you think about our comments. You agree with us, disagree with us, let us know your thoughts. We're getting also to get ready to get into some predictions of our two big NFL games this weekend, and I think four college football games this weekend as well. So you don't want to miss the OT portion of our show. Good night, people.
JQ.
Oh, time flies when you're having fun. They clashed in San Diego, and that's tough with Danny Woodhead. That bombed a lot of fantasy teams, including mine, a couple of them. So keep your head up out there, San Diego. Better days ahead.
Look at that. JQ is a voice for the people. I love it. I love it. Keep moving here. All right, gentlemen. We got about 30 seconds here, so we're going to kind of let it kind of trail off into the OT portion. Thank you as one. Appreciate everyone listening to the show. And we got it in even though we had a nice crazy start there too, but we appreciate you guys hanging in. And let's get it started here, gentlemen. Let's keep it moving here. And we're going to wrap up some NFL here. We're going to talk about a pretty serious topic here in that Colin Kaepernick. He still said he's been receiving some death threats since his anthem stance. And I know we kind of – I don't want to keep beating this in, but, you know, just as a quick – you know, we were talking about our thoughts about this. So, Rob, this is kind of taking it to a whole other level, sir.
Yeah, it's, you know, it just goes to show you how much racism we still have in this country. It's, you know, it's really sad. I don't really want to stay on this topic, you know, too long. But it's just, you know, disappointing that somebody's using his freedom to express his opinions, and he's got to receive death threats as a result of using it. And, you know, I'm pretty sure, like I said, these are racist acts, and we still got a long way, as we saw by a lot of things that happened this past year in our nation, and we still have a long way to go as a country.
Yeah, even that in the past, not even the year, you know, the past week and a half, two more black men killed by police brutality. So given his stance, and we talked about it, me and Rob, you know, didn't really think it was going to go because we thought the message was going to get lost in the whole stars and bars, and people just won't even listen to anything you have to say once they feel like you just disrespected, you know, the country through disrespecting the flag and the anthem. But you got to say, as these things keep happening and we keep rolling past and people keep joining and uniting with him during these protests and speaking out, you got to say that he's really been a catalyst, and where we thought he was just going to be an also-ran and an afterthought with this protest, it seems, you know, it's got a lot of traction at this point. And if it didn't have any traction, he wouldn't be getting any death threats. If they didn't view you as a threat, they wouldn't threaten you. So you got to view it from that side too. I hope nothing happens to him, you know. And I can totally agree with Rob. It's just ridiculous what's happening to that man. You know, we want to talk about keeping our Second Amendment for this and that, but then you want to take away somebody's First Amendment right to protest. So it's really sad, and I go ahead and get off of it. But, you know, stay strong, Colin. You're doing a good thing, even if I didn't necessarily in the beginning agree with the method, but I think it's keeping the conversation going that needs to happen, and we'll just see where it takes us. Hopefully it'll help continue to try to bridge the gap and not divide us.
Fair enough, and very eloquently spoken, sir. Good deal. All right, gentlemen, let's talk about some NFL predictions here as we get ready here. We're going to focus on two big games here. The Thursday night game, Houston at New England. This is going to be a very interesting game because you have the potential for two young quarterbacks here, even though Brock maybe has a little, you know, depends on what happens if Jacoby Brissett is going to start or not. But, Rob, what are your thoughts on this particular prediction for this game?
I like Houston on the road. No Garoppolo. Is Thursday night game. He's all but ruled out for this particular game. Obviously, if they meet down the road down in the season, I would take New England. But going down to your third-string quarterback, I like Houston in this game. I'm going to go with a 20-14 score. With Houston, we'll move on to 3-0. I think their defense will totally shut down Jacoby Brissett in New England.
Wow.
I would agree with that because you don't have the full benefit of playing on Sunday, and now you're down to your third-string quarterback on a short week, and you know he's not been getting any snaps in practice. Now he's the number one, and you're going against a very good Houston defense. I do agree with Rob. It's a close game. I say 21-17 Houston because you can never discount Bill Belichick coming up with a plan for a young quarterback and Brock Osweiler trying to confuse him. So I don't think Houston blows out New England by any stretch of the imagination. But I think they have enough defense and they just make enough plays to win in New England, 21-17 Houston.
Wow. Okay. Good call. I'm going to give the edge to Bill Belichick, man. I think he's going to pull out some crap that Brock hasn't seen before, man. So that's what I'm thinking. He's going to confuse your quarterback. That's me. Coaching gets this one. Mentor versus – he's still the teacher. Remember, man, you know. And your boy is still – Bill O'Brien is still like the pupil, man. So that's what I'm thinking. So there you go. Pittsburgh at Philadelphia. Man, Carson Wentz is going to head right into a pretty no more Jacksonville States in this particular matchup. This is going to get the best of the best here. So, JQ, I'm going to kick it off with you, man. What's going to happen? Is Carson going to be able to pull this out, man, or is it going to be a tough game for him?
It hurts my soul to have to be objective and say this and have it be recorded and people be able to play it back. But to be objective, I just now you step up in competition, and I don't think, you know, I don't think it's really even going to be close, to be quite honest with you. I think Pittsburgh wins by like 14 to 17 points.
Yeah, good call. Rob?
I'm going to pick an upset here. I think Pittsburgh is still the best team in the league, but I'm going to go with the Eagles here and a field goal victory, 27-24 at home. Philadelphia.
Wow. Fly, Eagle, fly.
You've made Robert, you've made Richmond very happy too, Rob. Just letting throwing that out there, man. He's pretty happy. All right. I'm kind of with JQ. I think Philadelphia, Pittsburgh going to win that particular example because it'd be too much for Carson at this time. But, yeah, it's going to be a good game. I would definitely concur as far as that. Let's make some transitions here as we talk about some bowl predictions here after for week three here. So, Rob, I'll let you kick this off, man, as we get ready for some bowl predictions here. I guess you got a couple of for New Year's, for the Peach Bowl, Fiesta, Rose, Sugar, Cotton, and Orange Bowl. So you want to fire those off? Kick us off with that, sir.
Peach Bowl in Atlanta. I got Alabama and Stanford. In that game, that's one semifinal. I got the Crimson Tide moving on to the championship game. Fiesta Bowl, Ohio State and Louisville out in Phoenix. I'm going to go with Lamar Jackson and Louisville pulling out this game in a really tight game. I think Alabama dominates Stanford, but I think this game will be extremely tight. I'm looking at Louisville and Alabama in the national championship game. Rose Bowl, Michigan, Washington. Sugar Bowl, Texas A&M, Oklahoma. I think Oklahoma still finds a way to win the sorry Big 12. Cotton Bowl, Nebraska against Houston. And Orange Bowl, Clemson against Michigan State. If you look at this, the Big Ten has got four teams going to the New Year's Six bowl games. And you got to look at that Big Ten Eastern Division, Michigan State, Michigan, Ohio State. That's got to be the toughest division. And looking forward to the three of them play round-robin football here later in the season.
That's a good one. I got to go with that ACC in that, you know, Louisville, Florida State, and Clemson. I know they don't like to do this, but I think we're going to see a rematch. And we're going to have Clemson and Louisville in one semifinal in Ohio State and Alabama because they won. Well, no, I take that back. I think you're going to see OSU and Louisville and Clemson and Alabama in a rematch because they want an Ohio State-Alabama national championship game. I just think that that's what they want. For the Rose Bowl, I'm going to go with Michigan and Stanford in the Rose in the Sugar. I'm going to throw some love to my boy Rob. I think LSU finds a way. They find a way to make it to the Sugar Bowl.
Okay.
And they play Oklahoma. In the Orange, I'm going to go with Florida State, Michigan State. And in the Cotton, I got a little bit of an upset. I got Houston, and I believe they're going to give the SEC some love. I think Tennessee is going to win the SEC East, and I think they do just enough to get in and play Houston in the Cotton Bowl.
That's a good call because I certainly considered Tennessee getting into a Big 12 bowl game too. But I hope you're right on LSU.
Nice.
I think they find a way.
Nice. Good. Good calls. All right, gentlemen, I'm going to keep for time short. I want to talk about these games are coming up. So let's kind of kick into that because we got some good matchups here. We got to number 12, Georgia at number 20, the Ole Miss. And we'll let you kick this one off, JQ. What are your thoughts about this particular matchup?
Yeah, I can't go with Georgia in any big games. I'm sorry to all the Bulldogs here in Atlanta, but I just can't do it.
Oh.
And if you really want to look at it. Ole Miss has had 21-point leads against Florida State and against Alabama. I think this is the game they actually get a lead and hold on to it. I'm going to go with Ole Miss.
Wow.
I like
Rob.
It, JQ. I got you calling them Ole Miss too now, right?
Wow.
Oh, yeah. I like – but I got to go with Ole Miss in this one too. And Georgia has struggled with Nicholls State.
God.
And they've struggled with Missouri. Two teams,
yeah,
of course, that doesn't have the talent level that Georgia has. I think Ole Miss definitely wins this game by at least 10 points at home.
Yep.
Good call. All right. Let's talk. I agree. It's going to be tough, man, for Georgia because Jake Eason is still kind of struggling, like we talked about. Very good matchup. Number 11, Wisconsin at number 8, Michigan State. Great, great game. I love the way Michigan State's always playing, man, but it's going to be a pretty big time. So what are your thoughts about this one, Rob?
Well, this was supposed to be rebuilding years for both of these teams, but you got to give, especially Michigan State, their defense is still top-notch, and this was, like I say, was supposed to be a rebuilding year for this team on this season. Malik McDowell, I mean, right now I got him as a top 3 pick in this draft. He's on that Michigan State defensive line, phenomenal football player. I like Michigan State at home, and I can see them winning this game pretty comfortably, too, by at least 10 to 17 points.
Agreed. I'm rolling with Sparty. I think LSU gave Wisconsin that game. I think it's Sparty at home by a similar margin that Rob put out there.
Yeah, I concur, guys, too. Let's talk about a pretty good matchup here. Number 19, Florida at number 14, Tennessee. A little tougher than expected, but JQ, what are your thoughts on this particular matchup?
I may have gone with Florida if Del Rio hadn't gotten hurt. With him being hurt, I think Tennessee, they're winning ugly. And I know it's not pleasing a whole lot of people, but I think they win a very low-scoring game, something like 13-10, somewhere in that ball, in that range. I'm going to go with UT.
Gotcha. What about you, Rob?
Florida has struggled offensively, even with Del Rio, and they're another one that's been winning really ugly. Tennessee was very impressive against Virginia Tech, but, you know, they played down to the competition in two other games. I think Tennessee wins this football game 24-10.
Good call, good call. All right, we're almost wrapping this up here. Let's talk about a pretty big game, number 17, Arkansas versus number 10, Texas A&M. Texas A&M surprisingly putting up some good numbers. Pretty underrated team, man. So this is in Arlington. What's your call on this one, JQ?
Oh, I'm going with Texas A&M. I don't trust Brett Bielema as far as I can throw him. I think Arkansas is playing a little bit above their head, but I'm going to go with Texas A&M. I think Kevin Sumlin knows he's on the hot seat, and he's got to win all these high-profile games, and I think he wins one, not by a large amount, maybe by 7-10, one-possession game from all off of the game. But I'm going to go with Texas A&M.
Rob Ford.
I like Texas A&M as well. I think they get it done with the passing game. Arkansas is definitely playing a lot better than we expected in the season. The ground game and offensive line is still strong, playing better defense. But speaking of defense, Texas A&M defense is a lot better as well. John Chavis is getting the SEC talent that he needs to compete in the conference. Miles Garrett is the best defensive end, best pass rusher in the country. So they're getting it done on that side of the football as well. So I definitely like Texas A&M in this game. I want to go 31-17.
Nice. Uh-oh. I actually unhooked my headset. That was me. I'm sorry. I got excited. All right, gentlemen, we got about 3 minutes here. If we can, I don't think we're going to have enough time for this, Rob. I know the NBA is right around the corner here. I'll let you pick your predictions really quickly, Rob, and then I'll kick in the JQ here because I didn't think we'd get through this, but we got about 3 minutes. If you can kick it in about a minute or so, Rob, that would be fantastic.
NBA Atlantic Division. I'm going with the Celtics to win that division. Addition of Al Horton, coaching the Brad Stevens. Toronto bumping down to number two. Even with all the additions that the Knicks have made this offseason, I still have them at the number three position. Philadelphia and Ben Simmons will be at four. Brooklyn will be competing for the number one pick in the draft. They're going to be terrible to see. Terrible, as Charles Barkley would say.
Terrible.
Yeah. The Southeast Division, I got to give y'all Atlanta Hawks some love. I got the Hawks with the number one team in the division, the Washington Wizards. I think they'll step it up to number two. The Charlotte Hornets, three. Orlando, four. And Miami will fall all the way to number five without Dwayne Wade. Still don't know what the situation with Chris Bosh is going to be. So it's looking pretty bleak for the Heat this season.
JQ.
Yeah, I would agree with most of that on both parts. The only thing I would flip-flop in, sorry, Dre. I'm looking at you, John Wall and Bradley Beal. If not now, when? I think they win the division. I think Atlanta comes in at two, and then everything else falls in the same line that Rob has. So I'm in mostly agreement with his picks.
Good deal. All right, gentlemen, thank you for another. Go ahead, Rob. We got 2 minutes here. Let's wrap up the show.
Next week, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back on next Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 10 p.m. Central Standard. For our friends in California, in Seattle, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Our friends in Hawaii, it'll be 5 p.m. Hawaiian time. Aloha. You don't want to miss it. We'll have more football. We get you ready for the NBA season as training camps are getting ready to kick off as well, or tip off, I should say, or getting ready to get moving here in the next week. But I can't believe the NBA season getting ready to start already. It seems like the finals were just yesterday. But next week, once again, we'll be back on talking college football, NFL, and we'll squeeze in a little NBA previews for a couple of divisions on next week as well. Good night, people.
Appreciate
you, good folks.
Go ahead, JQ.
Appreciate you, good folks, for tuning in. Listen to us in the car, wherever you can download us. Listen to us. Catch you next Tuesday. Talk some more football, and hopefully Pittsburgh loses.